Welcome to LI in the PM, the best of recent interviews with your host, Jay Oliver. Brought to you by the Town of Islip Industrial Development Agency, where Long Island gets down to business.
The final hour. First, though, always good to have Dr. Ron Sinagra, Sunrise Wellness Center. Get a free consultation, ladies and gentlemen, at 631-563-1444. What he talks about, no one else reporting on. As far as the media is concerned, go to the website as well. You'll learn a heck of a lot what we discuss weekly. Sunrise Wellness Center at li.com, the aforementioned. Dr. Ronald Sinagra, sir, how are you?
Good morning, Jay. How are you with this beautiful, rainy, cold, windy morning here in the Northeast?
Yeah. Little rain, little fall-like type condition out there, little coolness.
Oh, yeah.
And everything else, you know, the leaves, and here we go. You know, it's kind of the remnants of a tough storm last week. Man, I'll tell you, down in Southwest
Florida. Florida got hit, boy.
Destroyed.
Yeah, my buddy bought a house down right by Sanibel. Mm. Going to be a pitcher.
Yep.
It's gone.
Yeah. It's terrible. Not terrible.
The house is gone, but the property's gone, too. Everything's gone. Tough storm.
Such a beautiful area. I wish Fort Myers, Naples, that whole region there. Just such a gorgeous area, my goodness.
Oh, may God bless those people. I wish them all the best.
I know.
I brought some great stuff today, Jay.
Say again?
I brought some great stuff today.
What do you got?
Well, I wanted to talk about cancer. And, you know, cancer is a very, very touchy subject. Cancer is the number two killer in the United States behind heart disease, and we lose about 1,600 people a day to cancer. And there's always been a debate going on in the scientific community about the causes of cancer. You know, everyone's always saying, you know, can we find the cause of cancer? So, in Western medicine, the overwhelming theory that is being utilized is that cancer is a genetic disease, meaning that cancer affects the nucleus of the cells, and that is basically how it's being treated in Western medicine. The nucleus being the brain of the cell, for people that are limited in their understanding of biology. And there's another theory out there that it's a metabolic disease of the mitochondria, which we've talked about on the show quite a bit, the powerhouses of the cells where we create energy. So I found a book, and it's called Cancer, a Metabolic Disease with Metabolic Solutions by Thomas Seyfried. And he's not a medical doctor. He's a scientist. He's a PhD. But it was just so fascinating that I wanted to share it with everybody, and let me tell you about it. You know, in Western medicine, again, thinking that cancer is a genetic disease and that when the nucleus of the cell starts to mutate, it creates these things called oncogenes that, you know, set off uncontrolled cell growth, and the mutations in the nucleus block tumor-suppressing genes, so now we get this, you know, uncontrolled cell growth, also by blocking the tumor-suppressing genes. All these mutations are taking place in the nucleus of the cell. And some people challenge that, and Dr. Seyfried is one, and there's many others, of what we call the somatic mutation theory of cancer, that it's coming from the nucleus. So they did some experiments with tadpoles originally, because they're very simple to do, and then they did it with mice. And they took the nucleuses from a cancer cell, and they put that nucleus into a healthy cell. And when that cell divided, it created healthy cells. And that was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? They actually cloned a healthy mouse from the nucleuses, or the nuclei, the proper term, of tumor cells. And then everyone's like, whoa, that if the mutations in the nucleus are causing cancer, and we put a mutated nucleus into a healthy cell, logically we would think we would get, when that cell divides, cancer cells. But we got normal cells. So they actually even used embryos, they cloned embryos of mice from brain tumor cells, from the nucleus and the nuclei of brain tumors. So if the nucleus was creating the mutations, did they just go away in these healthy cells? And the answer is no, because when they looked at the nucleuses of the divided healthy cells, they still had the mutations in the nucleus. Something was blocking the nucleus from expressing these mutations. And they tried to figure out what that was. They found that the genetic mutations were still present in the nucleuses from the tumor cells, but these mutations were not being expressed. And they, when they looked into this, they concluded that it must be coming from something else. Something's blocking this expression, and it's the mitochondria. Now, like I said before, we've mentioned the mitochondria many times on the show, and they are the powerhouses of the cell. The mitochondria take oxygen that you breathe, fat, and glucose. So everything but protein. Protein goes to rebuild our tissues. So what we breathe and what we eat go to these mitochondria in our cell, and they convert that to ATP. ATP is the real gasoline for our cells in our body. That's our energy source, and that's created in these mitochondria. So as stated before, when they took the nucleus from a tumor cell and they put it in a healthy cell, when that cell divided, it produced healthy cells. That was mind-blowing. They couldn't understand. But then they took the mitochondria from a tumor cell, and they put the mitochondria from the tumor cell into healthy cells. And when they divided, they produced tumor cells. So this new theory is that it's not coming from the nucleus, it's coming from the mitochondria. So what does all that mean, especially to people listening on the radio? Okay, so cancer comes from the mitochondria, not the nucleus. Well, if you remember, healthy cells use oxygen as their fuel source. It's called cellular respiration. Healthy cells are utilizing oxygen and they're creating ATP. That's a real good healthy cell. Cancer cells, all cancer cells, use the process of fermentation for energy. It's a hallmark of cancer cells. Cancer cells use fermentation, meaning cancer cells don't use oxygen as an energy source. They use glucose. They use sugar. So cancer cells use fermentation using glucose as their energy source, and that's a primitive form of cellular energy production. So here's where it gets fascinating. So I hope I didn't get too technical with everybody. Cancer cells require two things for energy: glucose and the amino acid glutamine. You can literally starve cancer cells by denying them glucose and glutamine. So how do we deny cancer cells glutamine? The ketogenic diet. Now, if you remember, we've discussed this on the show. Our bodies have this, we have two main energy sources. And the two main energy sources are glucogenic, when we utilize glucose, and ketogenic, when we utilize fat. We break down fat into ketone bodies and glycerol. So what happens is this: we only have about 24 hours of stored glucose in our liver. That's the primary, that's our savings account for glucose. So once you don't eat past 24 hours, your body starts to run out of glucose. So that's when we switch and we now start to burn fat, and then we break down fat into the ketone bodies. That's our alternative energy system. But cancer cells have faulty mitochondria. They can't use ketones for energy. So by switching to a ketogenic diet and using ketones for energy, you're actually denying cancer one of its main sources of fuel, glucose. I find that fascinating. What are your thoughts on that so far?
I lost you right after you said we're going to talk about cancer. Listen, it's fascinating. I'm still kind of focused on this whole thing of the mitochondria, because you've spoken about this so many times on the show, and the main function, which really is, you're telling me, they are kind of membrane-bound organelles, so to speak, that generate most of the energy, right?
Yes,
the
absolutely.
Chemical energy that's needed to power the cell's reactions, biochemical or whatever. If
that's how we produce energy.
Why wouldn't we focus in on that as far as cancer cells are concerned if they are the main source of energy regarding these cells?
Because, you know, as Dr. Siefried said in his book, you know, right now the way the system is set up, they're focusing on that genetic genetic theory of it's the nucleus, not the mitochondria. So this, they're looking at this alternative theory is that it is a metabolic problem, not a genetic problem. And now you're going to start wrinkling feathers, and that's where it happens. But let me continue one second. So just to recap what we said is that there's a new theory in treating cancer that it's really coming from faulty mitochondria. And by denying mitochondria, glucose, and glutamine, we can now starve cancer cells. So we can get rid of glucose by a ketogenic diet. And now our bodies are using ketones, which is it's a phenomenal thing to do. It happens in nature. Every mammal on the planet switches back and forth because not every mammal on the planet has a constant food supply. So they're always kicking in their energy stores with the ketogenic system, except modern man, because we have an unlimited food supply and we never kick into the ketogenic system. And I feel that's one of the main reasons we're having so much of this chronic inflammatory conditions, chronic autoimmunity, diabetes, and cancer. But the next one that you have to worry about is glutamine, because cancer cells can also live on glutamine. And you can't remove glutamine from your diet. It's in everything. But what they have come up with is that there's certain nutrients that can actually block the uptake of glutamine into cancer cells. And these are green tea with its powerful polyphenol, EGCG, which is in green tea, alpha-lipoic acid, Garcinia cambogia, and polyresveratrol, just to name a few. There's also a drug coming out called DON. It's D-O-N. It stands for this long name that I can't even pronounce. But that drug blocks the uptake of glutamine. So by going to a ketogenic diet, you're denying the cells, you're denying cancer the energy it needs, cancer cells, because it needs glucose, and now you're out of glucose, and cancer cells, due to the fact that they have faulty mitochondria, that's the hallmark of cancer cells, they can't use ketone bodies for energy like a normal cell. So you're denying them glucose. And then by using these glutamine blockers, you're denying both sources of energy to cancer cells.
All right, now, so why is it not being discussed enough as far as this keto diet is concerned?
Well,
because if you're leaving out the glucose within the confines of the diet, seems to be a key. Why aren't they reporting this, for instance, you know, New England Medicine of Journal?
Here's where it gets fascinating, and this is the real world. Right now what we have is, in our cancer treatment in Western medicine, is that we're killing cancer. We're attacking the cancer cells with chemo and radiation and immunotherapies and things to this effect. This approach is starving the cancer cells. Now, here's the problem. Now you go against what we call standards of care. In Dr. Siefried's book, he says that in the United States, medical doctors cannot utilize this approach with a cancer patient. If they do, they could lose their license because they're not following what they call standards of care. So we have a system set up that we saw it in COVID with hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Depending on what state you were in, I know that in California, medical doctors were not allowed to prescribe ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, which has now both been proven to be highly effective against COVID. But the powers that be said no. And now you start getting into the big money and the cancer treatment and cancer care is a mega billion-dollar business in this country. So, you know, I didn't want to get into that, but this is what Dr. Seyfried says in one of the videos I was watching. He goes, when I first started doing this research, I got a ton of money from the National Institutes of Health and from and cancer organizations until I told them I was trying to cure it. Then they stopped giving me money. So you understand how the system works. So, but this is... I didn't want to get into all of that. What I wanted to get into is what does this mean for a layperson or for us? Is in the real world, what this means is that we have great ways now and with this information to prevent cancer. And, you know, at the Wellness Center, number one, I got to put this caveat. I don't treat cancer. I do not treat cancer. You got to be very careful to make sure that in our country that you never cross the line of treatment, especially in a wellness center. My job is to restore health, not treat disease. Now, I take care of patients with cancer, but, you know, I'm not treating cancer. But what we have learned from this new approach is that the line between wellness and treatment, you have to always make very clear to patients. But what we can learn from this is before we get sick with a cancer, kicking in the ketogenic system on occasion is might be one of the healthiest things that you could do. Having a lower calorie diet, we know when you deny mice, the lower calorie mice extend their lifespan 30% compared to the normal mice fed or the obese mice. So lower calories, you know, less food. We eat too much darn food, and we never trigger that ketosis. We never trigger that process that cleanses our body. Magic happens when you trigger ketosis. Also, since 2006, I've been a member of the aftercare program at Cancer Treatment Centers of America. So what is the aftercare program? As we all know, chemo and radiation can be very tough on the body. So Cancer Treatment Centers of America has doctors that after a patient's finished with their treatment, they come to us and we help rebuild their health, especially the gut bacteria, the liver, get them on the right diet, make sure we bring up all their nutrients, things like that. So I've worked with that, but so as it stands right now with this information, we could utilize this for cancer prevention. And what's the biggest fear post-cancer treatment when you've been cleared, you're free of cancer? What's the biggest fear? It's coming back. So now a post-cancer patient can utilize this information. As it stands right now, active treatment with this new approach that is coming to light, that's not happening in the United States right now. But I thought it was fascinating, and, you know, I thought that it would be great information for the listeners to be able to say, okay, more reason to, you know, eat right, eat less, intermittent fasting, and then each month do an extended fast. You know, one day, some people recommend doing a one-day fast a week. Some people recommend doing a three-day fast once a month. If you did that, you would change your life dramatically. And you could really, really help prevent a lot of things like cancers, diabetes, autoimmunity, you know, chronic degenerative conditions, neurodegenerative conditions. Magic happens when we trigger the ketogenic system of energy. It triggers something called autophagy, where your cells just start dumping cellular debris. Your body goes into like this emergency defense mode, like when your car comes on, the reserve light comes on the gas tank. When that happens, your body doesn't know, is it going to be one day or is it going to be 12 days? So it starts to go into this cleansing process, shuts down inflammation. It's amazing the things that your body does when you trigger ketosis. So with this new information and understanding that, you know, using the ketogenic diet and using some of these glutamine blockers, you can really do a lot to prevent cancer. And also post-cancer patients, what's our biggest fear post-cancer patient? The return of the cancer. I mean, how many times have we seen people, they get cleared for cancer treatment, I'm clear, and then it comes back. And when it comes back, many times they don't make it because cancer treatment beats up our body so bad. If it does come back, we don't have a lot left to fight it with. So, great, you brought up a great point. Why is this not utilized in the country? Then you get into the politics of medicine, and you get into the politics of the FDA, and that's a whole story. But I thought it was a fascinating read. The name of the book, again, is Cancer, A Metabolic Disease with Metabolic Solutions by Thomas Seyfried, Ph.D. I just found it so important because it tied right back into the mitochondria, which you know I've always come on the show talking about how important it is to keep your mitochondria functioning properly. And the greatest way to do that is fasting and then also the supplement nicotinamide riboside, because that actually increases NAD in the mitochondria. So the supplements now that help our mitochondria, we know fasting helps our mitochondria, and we know now that mitochondria is a potential true cause of cancer. Great information, Jake.
Really is fascinating when you think about it. Hey, I wanted to get, I only got a couple of minutes with you. ALS.
Yes.
The FDA was kind of toying with it back and forth, finally said, let's go for it as far as this drug now to at least slow the progression of amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, a.k.a. Lou Gehrig's disease. What was your take on all of that regarding the FDA finally giving in somewhat? But at least it's something. Was that a trigger for you in any way of positive nature or no?
Yeah, it was, because I lost my best friend from high school to ALS 20 years ago. He didn't. I'm going to be turning 60, and he didn't make 40. He died right before his 40th birthday, and it was one of the most horrific things I've ever been through. And you know, and his family. That's the most horrific disease, and it's just a horrible disease. And what it does to you is it just so devastating. And they didn't have much, you know, and it was disappointing when we went into, you know, Columbia Presbyterian, and we were in the top, you know, hospitals in the United States, and they basically didn't have anything 20 years ago. They were telling him pretty much what they told Lou Gehrig. We had clinical trials, but nothing was really approved, nothing was really showing promise. So at least this is showing promise. Again, that's just one of the, you know, do you remember Steve McMichael from the Chicago Bears?
Absolutely. Played defensive line on those great Bear teams back in the 80s.
Yeah, he's probably 120 pounds. I saw a photo of him with a couple of the Bears from the 85 Bears team, and he's got ALS. And it's such a devastating illness. But yeah, I'm happy to see that they're coming up with and they finally did approve something. But yeah.
Much more to do, I'll tell you that much. I agree with you. With ALS, you know, you want to tell me Alzheimer's and everything else, but man, I'll tell you, slowly robbing you of life. That's what the ALS is all about, but at least a sign, and maybe a sign of better things to come. We hope. Listen,
yes.
It's slow. We know when we get these breakthroughs, but man, I'll tell you, Doc, at least it's something for those families and loved ones and everything else out there. My goodness.
Yeah, strike the fear of God, Jay.
You know, many people you get a diagnosis of cancer.
You get a diagnosis. It strikes the fear of God at the end. So that's why I try to always bring information to help people get a better understanding and give them some tools to help them prevent and hopefully help them avoid these conditions.
No question, Dr. Ronald Sinagra, Sunrise Wellness Center, li.com. You can get a free consultation with a good doc, folks, at 631-563-1444. All we discussed on the website, sunrisewellnesscenterli.com. You don't hear about this in any other show. You just don't. And that's why we have him on, because he is vital as far as this information. Keep up the great work, my friend, all right? We'll talk
to you
next week.
You have a great week, and you stay safe, and I'll talk to you next week.
Ally in the PM, the best of recent interviews with your host, Jay Oliver. Brought to you by the Town of Islip Industrial Development Agency, where Long Island gets down to business.